With today being Father's Day, I became interested in looking through the Bible to find the first time God is actually called Father. Capital F, A-T-H-E-R. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so I went back and I began to research to see when is God first called Father? Capital F, A-T-H-E-R. I was astonished. I went all the way through the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah before I found it. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9? And let's together read verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now that's the first time I find God described, actually described, as a father of a people. That's incredible. This is in the book of Isaiah. Think about the history that has already taken place before you come to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. There are about 13 periods of Bible history. You began, of course, with the antediluvian before the flood history, then that period right after the flood, then the patriarchal period of Abraham through Joseph, then the period of Egyptian bondage, then the period of wanderings, then the period of conquest, then the period of the United Kingdom, and then the period of the divided kingdom, and whoa, there you are. When you come to the book of Isaiah, you find yourself in that period of Old Testament history known as the divided kingdom. Of the 13 periods of Bible history, you're almost halfway through when you get to the book of Isaiah. And yet this is the first time God is actually called Father of a people. Think about the history that is going on at this given time. Again, you're in the period of the divided kingdom. This is about 600 years before Jesus is actually born. That means that you look at the divided kingdom, you had 10 northern tribes called the northern kingdom, and then Judah and Benjamin called the southern kingdom. The northern 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, had already gone into Assyrian captivity, never to be known of as a kingdom again. And now when you come to the book of Isaiah, you're in the period of the divided kingdom, when you have Judah and Benjamin existing alone, by themselves as a kingdom. But they themselves had begun to back away from God. And Isaiah, as the statesman and dean of the prophets he was, begins to predict that even the southern kingdom would go into Babylonian captivity and be there for some time. But God's favor would still be toward them, and they would come out of captivity and be a nation again as a faithful remnant. That's where you are in Bible history. And yet that's the first time God's called Father of a people. Think about the history that is yet to come. You have Judah going into Babylonian captivity, coming out of Babylonian captivity, rebuilding itself. You have the coming of Jesus after this period of 400 years between the Testament. You have the death of Jesus. You have the coming of the church. All of that yet to be after the book of Isaiah. Right here at the pinnacle, if you please, you have God called a father. I would like for us to spend just a little bit of time with this passage and see what we can learn about this description of God as a Father. And then step back as we close and see if there's some things that can help improve us as fathers, if not help our entire family dynamic. As we look at this passage, two thoughts. First of all, let's consider the names, and then secondly, the nature of God as set forth in this one verse. Again, it says, "And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Counselor, Mighty God, God, Everlasting Father, Father, Prince of Peace, Prince." Look at those names briefly. First of all, His name shall be called Counselor. The Hebrew word means consultant. If you please, advisor. There is an entire industry in existence today of individuals who serve various fields as consultants. There are special consultants in the medical field that will help various physicians in placement at certain areas. There are consultants that work with surgical centers that will help them in the realm of their business dealings. A whole sub-industry, if you please, if not subculture, of individuals who make their living as consultants. Think of how many of us have been blessed by an individual who has spent his time or her time studying psychology, the emotional makeup of individuals, sociology, the networking of individuals. And we go to those people and we ask them to help us navigate through the affairs of life. Consultants, advisors, counselors. His name shall be called Counselor. I go back to the book of Job, in Job 28, verse 14, it says, He sees to the ends of the earth and looks on the whole under heavens. God sees everything. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now imagine God as your counselor. There is not a circumstance He has not seen. There is not a question to which He does not have an answer. There is not a situation that He cannot help you negotiate. His name shall be Counselor, but then His name shall be God. El, Eloah, plural, Elohim. There's some question as to the origin of that word. It is believed that you could go all the way back to the original and find that it meant power or fear. And maybe that's why Psalms 111 says, Holy and reverent, or better translated, holy and terrible is His name. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. His name shall be called power. His name shall be called fear. His name shall be called God. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1, verse 1. But is He to be feared? Does He have to be feared? Psalms 40. God, my God. Psalms 43. God, my exceeding joy. Psalm 68. God, my King. Does He have to be feared? No. His name shall be called Counselor, God. His name shall be called Father. This is a term of connection. In fact, God made a promise to David. Remember when David wanted to build the temple? And God refused because he was a man that had blood on his hands? But God made a promise to David saying, you're going to have a son, and he will be to me a son, and I will be like a father to him. Now I looked, and there the word father is not spelled with a capital F, just a descriptive fashion of God saying, we're going to have a special connection, me and your biological son, Solomon. And so the word father carries this idea of a connection. His name shall be called one with whom you can connect. There is one God and Father of whom are all things, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. He's the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. He's the Father of glory, Ephesians 1, verse 17. He's the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12, verse 9. He's the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, James 1, verse 17. The Father, His name should be called Father, one with whom you can connect. His name should be called Prince. The Hebrew word literally means captain. It's a military term. And it reminds me of what God said to Moses all the way back in Exodus 14. There you find the children of Israel trapped. Before them, the Red Sea. Behind them, the encroaching armies of Pharaoh. But God instructs Moses to tell the people not to fear. And then these words, the Lord will fight for you. He's captain. Exodus 14, 14. And he did. Verse 27 of the same chapter tells us, the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Verse 30, the Lord gave salvation to Israel. Captain, that reminds me of what David said to this huge, gargantuan named Goliath. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? David says to Goliath. Our young men and women will learn more about that come our vacation Bible school whenever we talk more about David. But David responds to Goliath and he says, this day I will have your head and I will feed the carcasses of the Philistines to the birds of the air so that Israel and all will know that the Lord does not fight with sword or spear. For, and he makes this statement, the battle is the Lord's. His name shall be called Captain. So he is a counselor, a word of concern. He is God. A word of control. He is Father, a word of connection. He is Prince, a word of combat. Here is somebody that's willing to listen to me. Somebody that can take charge of my life. Somebody that is interested in me as a father with a family. And someone who will fight my battles. His name shall be called. But then consider the nature of God as set forth in this passage. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. In Psalm 77, you are a God who does wonders. Could I interest you in taking the time when you get home, sometime today before you pillow your head, read Psalm 77. In the superscription, it is attributed to the sons of Asaph. I would imagine it's one with which you can relate. It is a psalm where the psalmist says, where are you? Where are you? have you forgotten me? And then he steps back and says, but I will remember your wonders. Oh, when I wonder whether or not God is still with me, I must remember His wonders. This is the one who divided the Red Sea. This is the one who divided the Red Sea after He had made havoc of Egypt, the empire of the day. This is the one who took care of a people for 40 years, even to the point that their shoes didn't even wear out. This is the one who gave sight to the blind, who gave strength to the withered, who allowed the lame to walk again. This is the one who turned to the dead and gave them life. I will remember your wonders. He is a God who does wonders. Wonderful. One who is concerned, Counselor. But then, Mighty God. He said to Abraham in Genesis 17:1, I am El Shaddai. El, I am power. El, I am fear. El, I am God. Shaddai, Almighty. I am power almighty. I am power beyond power. That's what God said to Abraham. When Sarah laughed at the idea of having a child in her old age, she was asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the next chapter, Genesis 18, verse 14. Jesus said, all things are possible with God. Matthew 19, verse 26. The four beasts surrounding the throne of God, representing the seraphim and cherubim, the angelic host, began to praise God, the one who was, who is, and who is to come, as holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. His nature? He does wonders because He can do anything He chooses to do. His nature? Everlasting Father. Never beginning, never coming to an end, Father. The eternal God is your refuge. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Job said, He's the great God. We do not know Him, nor can we discover the number of His years. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Psalms 90, verses 1 and 2. Everlasting. Prince of Peace. You give strength to your people, Psalms 29, verse 11. You bless them with peace. Look at the names. Look at the nature. And then take pause. As I go back and study this verse carefully, I find that really this is not a reference to God at all. This is a reference to Jesus. Verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. Isn't it true that we can think of Jesus as a counselor? You have the words of eternal life, Peter said to Jesus, John 6, verse 68. Isn't it true that we can speak of Jesus as God? God did. God, your God, we read in Hebrews chapter 1. Jehovah God the Father spoke of Jesus as God. Can we not think of the Lord as family? I don't know of a single passage outside of this one where Jesus is called a father. But there is family connection in that He's not ashamed to call us His brethren. We read in Hebrews chapter 2. So whether it's father or family, we can think of Jesus in that light. And can't we think of Him as a prince or captain? He is, after all, Hebrews 2 verse 10, the captain of our salvation. And what about all of those adjectives? Can we not think of Jesus as the wonderful? Can we not think of Jesus as the one through whom we can do all things? That's what Paul said. Can we not think of Jesus as the one who never had a beginning, never will have an end, even though there's a parenthesis of time where He came and lived as a man? And can't we think of Him as the giver of our peace? But let's step back and look at these eight words as we close. I think right there we have a format that can help us as fathers be better fathers. Could I suggest that with the word counselor, we have the importance of listening? You want to be a good father? Take the time to listen to your children. You ever had your children ignore you? They're watching television, and you say, you know, it's about time to clean up our room. It's getting time for bed. Goes right over their head. That ever happened to you? Happened to me. I wonder if our children learn to ignore us because we ignore them. You ever been reading the paper? And you recognize someone else in the room and you hear noise, but you pay little attention to the fact that your son, daughter has asked you a question? Or perhaps they come in with a baseball mitt, baseball, softball. Can we have some pitch? And there's no response. Or let daddy finish this right now and then maybe later, and later never comes. Listen. Take the time to listen and invest in life. The word counselor implies concern. Do we have true concern for our children? Have I been talking all this time and not being heard? Really? Well, as we begin this morning, the word God is a word that suggests control. Want to be a good father? Take charge of that family. Somebody is going to control your family dynamic. It may be the wife who wears the breeches. Not supposed to be that way. It may be the children that take control of the dynamic, and therefore life is experienced from what they want instead of what they need. You want to be a good father? You take control of that family dynamic. The word father, it's a word that connects. Could I suggest our children need daddies as much as they need biological fathers? I had a daddy. My life was blessed. I tried to be a daddy. I hope my sons can say the same. Father, a term that connects. Prince, captain, want to be a better father? Fight battles for your children. And help them fight their own battles, yes, in the right way. And then maybe, just maybe, one day, there'll be a faint voice in the background saying, you know, my dad was a wonderful person. My dad could do absolutely anything.
my dad will forever live in my heart. My dad could calm the storms of life. I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men may have had. But I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish ere my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I will be glad, for I will know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. I'm grateful that God is my Heavenly Father. I'm grateful that I can think of Jesus as one under the caption, He's like a father to me. I hope that my children can reflect on growing up years and feel blessed. And I hope these few words will help all of our children feel and say the same. Do you know, outside of a father who loves his children's mother, do you know the greatest gift you can give your children? It is a father who loves God and helps that son, that daughter, go to heaven. Does your son, does your daughter have a Christian father? As we stand together and sing.